Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network right here in beautiful Wisconsin. Maggie's out today. I'm Matt Rothschild sitting in for her along with my terrific co-host Angela Lang. We've been thrilled and honored to be able to be with you these last 2 days on Maggie's show. We want to thank Maggie for this opportunity, which we greatly enjoy. And God, I really appreciated the two political leaders we've had on in the last hour. Robin Vining, who's running for state senate, and former state rep Katrina Shanklin, who spoke so powerfully about what Democratic candidates need to do here in the Midwest to really appeal to people. And the point about, you know, not scolding voters, not condescending to the voters, not telling voters what their actual interests are when they have their own ideas of what their self-interest is. I think those are all really, really important lessons, don't you?
I do. And I think also, you know, I appreciate them both very dearly. And I remember the first time, or one of the first times I started to get to know Rep Shanklin was, I was a part of United Council many years ago, and it was a statewide student organization group. And I felt like she was one of the ones in the corner of us, of like the student movement, understanding the student power and advocating for us. And I also think she's in a unique position as kind of the theme for today's show of being able to build upon kind of this grassroots. We don't have to be overly, you know, moderate in order to win elections. And I think both Rep Vining and former Rep Shanklin kind of prove that point, that you can be incredibly authentic as long as you're talking about, you know, values and what's important. And more people will actually support you than you think, and that we don't need to run away from these messages in order to win a statewide race or even a local race.
Yeah, be who you are, stand up for what you believe in. I mean, really, really basic stuff. You, if you're listening in your car or at home, you can join the conversation anytime by phone or text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Gary from Madison texted in, "We've not had representative government here in Wisconsin for 15 years. Just insane," he says. And Gary's absolutely right. I mean, that story that State Rep Vining was talking about Speaker Voss getting in the way of what a bipartisan majority of legislators wanted to do, which was expand postpartum Medicaid coverage for moms here in Wisconsin, was just kind of, I mean, almost shocking to me. I mean, I don't put anything past Robin Voss. Nothing he would do would surprise me at this point, but that is a really
the fact that it's
egregious
one
egregious example.
Yeah, and I think of going back to the redistricting fight and all of that, and I remember one of the talking points that we were trying to, you know, to make the case to the community is, you know, there are times that marijuana legalization has been on the ballot and it has passed overwhelmingly, or raising the minimum wage, or Medicare, like, or Badger Care, all these things have been on the ballot, passed overwhelmingly. Granted, our ballot initiatives are non-binding. I call them basically glorified surveys. But to know that you have a temperature on the electorate and what they want, and the fact that one man can say, I personally don't like this, so the rest of the state is not going to get that, is not only like disturbing, but it's sick and egregious. And it is a real, I think, cancer of our democracy. And I think that's strong language, but I use that intentionally.
And, you know, people understand at a gut level that democracy isn't working for them. It's not that they don't like democracy. They want democracy to work, but they know it's not working the way it's supposed to. And there have been a lot of political scientists studying this problem. Most famously, there was a couple of political scientists who did a study of 1,800 issues, political issues in Washington. And what they found was what the people want, the people don't get. The only time the people get what they want is when the top 1% wants it too. And that's for anyone who believes in democracy and, you know, thinks we live in a democracy, that's a real eye opener.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a reason why people are cynical right now. And there's a reason why people went for the demagogue instead of the institutional candidate last time around. And that's why, again, it was refreshing to hear former Rep Shanklin talk about the need to acknowledge all these problems and learn from them. And Representative Vining talking about, you know, she wants at the break, and unfortunately people who weren't on the app or listening on Facebook or Twitter didn't hear, she's ready for a bright, shining new day. If Democrats get hold of the state assembly and get hold of the state Senate and hold on to the governorship. And it's that kind of optimism and the ability to deliver on those issues that she articulated so well that gives us hope. We've got, Dick from Cottage Grove is on the line. Always looking forward to hearing from Dick. Dick, what's on your mind? I can't hear you, Dick. Are you there? We can't get him, so Jacob, we're going to have to try to have Dick call us back, and if he gets back on the line, we'll take it, of course. But it's really important here for Democrats to recognize what happened in the 2024 election and to respond, because we lost the Rust Belt, and there's Katrina Shanklin, executive director of Rust Belt Rising. That's a crucial job, and you got to admire her energy, man. She brings a lot of energy and a lot of wisdom to this job, and it's just what we need. So hats off to Katrina Shanklin. As I told her once we were off the air, that I had a little Facebook survey of my Facebook friends who they want for governor, and she got several votes too, even though she's out of the legislature and not running. But I always thought she was a great candidate and a potential governor of Wisconsin at some point, still do.
And I think it's also like where she represents too, right? I know, and you know, I've talked to several people about this kind of like Madison, Milwaukee, you know, when it comes to the gubernatorial race. And sometimes just even anybody being from Madison or Milwaukee can be a turnoff to folks because people feel that they're left behind in rural communities. And I think that she has a unique kind of like experience in the way that she's able to connect and to relate with folks. And like I said, there's not like a ton of representatives around the time many, many years ago when Scott Walker wanted to decimate the student movement here in Wisconsin. And, you know, it's something that I'll always remember of how she was able to try do the best that she could to speak out and to defend that. And so between young people, which I think is a big voting block and a big demographic, people need to, I guess, kind of figure out as we lead to the next cycle, but then also the rural community that has been left behind, and the fact that she has had experiences in both of those, I think puts her in a really unique and very powerful position to make a lot of plays in Wisconsin and also call the question. Like, I really appreciate the fact that she's talking about that, the Democratic Party needs to lead and listen with humility. And I'm curious of, do we think that that's going to happen? You know, I have always seen the postmortems and the autopsy reports where it's always blaming the voter. It's, you know, it's never we ran a bad campaign or we had a bad message or we had a bad candidate. It's always the voter. And so it's refreshing to hear that, the opposite. But I think the million-dollar question is, are the party consultants and the candidates and the parties listening to that?
Yeah, I think that's really the open question of the day. We have a text from Tiffany from River Falls. It's not just Robin Voss, she writes. It's the Republicans as a whole. They had a chance to put it in the state budget, and they all voted no. Voss is just being the scapegoat for the Republican Party as a whole. You know, I don't really agree with that, because Robin Voss, you know, bossed around the folks on joint finance, the Republicans on joint finance. I think it is this handful of Republican legislators, Robin Voss and the folks on the Joint Finance Committee, including Howard Markline, who Jenna Jacobson's running against, they had the power to listen to the people of Wisconsin. And those few people chose not to listen to the people of Wisconsin. Yeah. Markline chose not to listen to the people in Richland County when they were shutting down UW Richland Center. Or Richland County. And so that's an outrageous misuse of the power that he has. And Robin Voss has just been flouting the people's will. I don't blame all Republicans as a whole, as Tiffany wrote. I don't even blame all Republican officials. I do blame the Republican officials who are in power. And I do want to underscore who they are serving. They are not serving the people of Wisconsin. They're not even serving all Republican voters in their district. They're serving the super rich, the Diane Hendrixes, the Dick Elines, and the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the biggest lobby in the state capitol, just a block away from here in Madison. And those folks aren't delivering for the people of Wisconsin. That's why our democracy isn't working here in Wisconsin. That and the huge Citizens United decision, the problem of money in politics, which is just outrageous, as we saw with, you know, Elon Musk spending $200 and some million on a race that he didn't even win here in Wisconsin. Yeah. But the amount of money that is spent is just a huge crisis for our democracy. Mm-hmm. This economy isn't working for everyday people. So we have a we have an economy that isn't working for people, and we have a democracy that is not working. And the real answer is to get our democracy to work better. We got to solve the problem of campaign finance.
Yep.
But that's a long fight. I mean, we've got a U.S. Supreme Court here that has shown time and time again that they are, you know, in league now with Trump. And also, you know, Chief Justice Roberts is the one who was writing that Citizens United decision.
Yeah.
And so we got huge problems on our hand as a democracy, which is what you and I talk about every time we're
every
on.
Every time.
but it is so true. And here we have finally, you know, we have mainstream commentators talking about authoritarianism, talking about, you know, when Trump fires the statistician from the Bureau of Labor Statistics because he doesn't like the numbers coming out. I mean, we are in real treacherous waters there.
And yet,
you know, people, a lot of Republicans who voted for Trump, you know, the vast majority, I saw, you know, the polls, like 95% still like Trump. The question I'm having in my mind and having a hard time dealing with is what is it going to take to separate themselves or acknowledge that they've been taken for a ride by this guy? And we're not there yet. I mean, the Epstein stuff I thought was going to crack a few people, but I'm sick of that scandal. And I think it, even though there's movement in the House of Representatives to subpoena a bunch of people, I think mostly they're just going to go after Bill Clinton, and they're going to make it, you know, Bill Clinton's a pervert, and you know, try to take the blame away from Trump. But, you know, nothing seems to dislodge these folks at this point. Maybe when their economic conditions suffer. I mean, that's the bottom line. And in fact, I heard Mark Pocan talking on the Tom Hartman show, I think it was last week, where he said, let's stop talking about Epstein and let's start talking about the big, bad, ugly bill that passed and how that's going to affect people, because people aren't going to vote on Epstein. People are going to vote on their everyday life. Sure. Is their life better? Is their economic condition better? Is their job better? Do they have better health care? Are groceries up or groceries down? Those kinds of things. And I think that was a really smart observation by my Congressman Mark Pocan. And I think we need to take that to heart because, you know, just chasing this Epstein story, like a lot of folks want to do, I think it's a cul-de-sac. I don't think it's going to get us anywhere. And we need to have conversations about the real issues and the crimes that Trump is committing against immigrants, against our Constitution, against due process, against our universities, against our media system, like we were talking about yesterday.
Yep.
And you know, then we can maybe move people along. That's my hope anyway. You know, after the short break, I've got this poem I want to read, and then I want to lighten things up and talk about some birds, which is my comfort zone.
Yes.
So we'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting with Angela Lang of Block. It's always a pleasure to be with you on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.